In this week's episode of Zen Founder, we round out our series of Founders on Goals, where we talk to several founders about how they set goals, how they keep themselves accountable, whether they set goals and the process they go through it. This week, Sherry interviews Mr. Brennan Dunn. You might know him from his Double Your Freelancing blog, podcast, ebooks, and courses. If you look at the volume of content that Brennan produces, you'll know that he's highly efficient and effective. And so listening to his process of goal setting is probably going to have some takeaways for you. In next week's episode, Sherry and I are going to recap and give an analysis of the Founder on Goals series and the learning points and the lessons that we feel like we've taken away and hopefully you can take away from this series. We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
Well, let me just start off with a really general question then, if you're ready to roll. Do you regularly set goals?
I do. I actually set a bunch of different batches of goals. So I have my annual goals, which I actually just did. You know, when I reviewed the year before, I spend a little time looking forward and thinking, well, what do I want to accomplish in the next year? So those have become kind of my milestones, I guess, like what I would like to hit. And then I try to every month figure out kind of monthly goals. Like how can I, like if I want to get from here to having $1 million a year business or something, right? Within a year, what can I actually do each month to get me closer to that? So then I will have these monthly goals, which kind of define what smaller tasks I'll be working toward that month. Usually it's a month. I mean, it just depends on kind of how much I'm willing to bite off. Like around the holidays, I didn't do as much. So it kind of group like November and December into one. But then, yeah, so I come up with kind of, where do I want to be a month from now? And then I will then kind of create almost like a backlog, treat it as a project and come up with kind of everything that I think should be done in order to get there. And then on a week by week basis, usually Sunday, I'll try to like not only put what I'm going to do each day, ideally, I mean, obviously stuff comes up, but ideally, like what do I want to do each day? But I'll also go to my calendar and block off time for that. So, you know, I might say like, so I'm working on a new book and at the end of this month, I want to finish a quarter of it or something. I might go and actually dedicate time in my calendar for writing. And I mean, that's been my system, just trying to start really big, because you can't check off like wrote a book on a to-do list. It would be instead a lot of smaller things that stack up ultimately to that. So, you know, I try to keep these milestones and try to figure out how on a monthly basis I can inch closer toward these milestones. And then I use these monthly goals, I guess, to break down small tasks that I can actually check off a list.
And like, then you check in with those each week.
Yes. So each week I will plan them. I'll basically figure out when I'm going to work on them and how much I'm going to chew off that week.
Okay. Do you set annual goals every January? Like, do you have a rhythm about that that happens regularly?
Usually, because I mean, one of the things is I try to, I'll do like an end of year recap. I'm a little behind. I'm working on it this week where I post to my blog, like, here are the things I got done last year. Here's what was good. Here's what was not so good. Here's kind of where I went off the rails. Cause I realize it's helped, like those are the sort of articles that have helped me when I was starting out, even now when I read my friends who do that, but it also kind of forces me to spend time really reflecting on the year before. And that's when I'll think about, well, what am I going to do different next year? Like, how am I going to improve upon what I've done in the previous year or start something new? So, usually I do them both at once.
Okay. And you make your goals pretty public. It sounds like there's some benefit to those, both in terms of being helpful and sharing some of your experiences with other people. I'm wondering if that also doesn't provide you a level of accountability since you've said things out loud.
Well, it's like my newsletter is my mastermind group in a way when it comes to that. I mean, one of the goals or points of a mastermind is to keep yourself accountable to a few others. Well, when you do it publicly, it's another way of doing that. Although I've been thinking, though, about how detailed I want to get, because I'm in the process of writing that. I'm trying to think of how detailed I want to get this year, not from like a hide it away, you know, whatever, like, oh, people will like steal this and do it. Or, you know, it's, I don't have anything like that. And I think people who think that way are usually a little misguided, but I'm just thinking like in terms of, you know, do I really want to build and plan everything in the open this year? I mean, I've been doing that for the most part since I've started this. I don't know. I'm wondering if I want to, because I've been reading some articles recently that discourage against that for different reasons.
And what are some of the pros and cons that, as you're noodling on it? Obviously, I mean, haven't really landed on what you think maybe yet.
I mean, I think one of the pros is, let's say you're developing new software or writing a book or something, and you're sharing kind of updates and hesitations and roadblocks on, let's say, Twitter or something, or to your list. I think the people on the receiving end have a more vested interest in the product if they're kind of a participant in that product. And it also lets you do kind of ongoing customer research. And I mean, I think there's a lot of benefits in doing that. Cons would be, again, pegging yourself to doing something. I mean, honestly, I don't think it's a con as much as if you're doing something midway through and then you decide not to do it anymore, change directions, and you talk about why you did change directions. I think that's actually really helpful for everyone. But I don't know, like I've been thinking, like, wouldn't it be interesting if instead I can kind of announce something and keep people, like, now that I have an audience, now that I have a customer base that's pretty sizable, what if I could make things a little more mysterious, you know, in a way?
Surprise!
I'm not a big fan of surprises. Like, have a buildup where it's still kind of unknown as to like what it's going to be, or, you know, something like that. Like, and again, I'm not worried about competition at all in that sense, but just from a, I wonder how it would be different, almost like from an experimentation point of view. I mean, I've always built in the open and I've liked it. So I'm wondering if maybe, what if I did it a little differently? But, you know, chances are I'm probably going to keep doing what I've been doing, just because I love just sharing teasers and getting feedback and saying, hey, am I on the right track? I mean, this isn't for me. This is for you.
You have a system that's working pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, if the people I'm talking with are potential customers of it, if I'm creating something for them, I want to know, like, am I actually doing something that's going to help, you know, them? And I don't want to go into my cave and just knock something out without any feedback.
Yeah. There's that dynamic interaction that happens that helps you shape what you're doing so that you know right. that it's going to be a fit for your customers.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you sit down to write your annual goals, it sounds like part of that process is looking back at the past year mm-hmm. and looking at the successes or the challenges. Are there other questions or thought processes that you go through when you're beginning to set goals or generate goals? I think sometimes people kind of stare at the blank page and aren't maybe sure where to get started.
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, I think business goals by definition are going to have lifestyle goals attached to them. So one of my goals this year is to start simplifying more. So that means less context switching, less requiring myself to always be there in a way, right? So for me, this means, you know, I'm looking at what can I stop doing that I'm doing now? What can I delegate that I'm doing now? What product changes can I make this year that would allow me to not have as much high touch support maybe? And yeah, I mean, I think because the end goal for that is, you know, if I get to the end of the day and I'm just wiped out from having jumped from here to here to here, or with last year, actually, one big thing, and this is a goal that worked out really well, was I wanted to stop getting to the point where I was needing to, you know, like I would have a meeting and then it would conflict with me committing to taking the kids to like ballet or, you know, something like that. Right. So I've really tried over 2015, and it hasn't been rocket science, but I've tried to just say, all right, I'm not going to set any meetings on any other day, but besides Tuesday and Wednesday. And on Tuesday and Wednesday, it's going to be when my kids are at school. So this way, like, dramatically has increased the likelihood that we don't have these conflicts. And if, like, we happen to go on a long weekend or something, we're out, like, let's say we're out in the mountains or something, I don't need to find like internet on a random Friday afternoon to try to make something that I committed to while I'm just leaving the family like there for an hour or something, you know, like I've tried to really, that's been one of my goals. And so that was the lifestyle goal, which was stop having this stuff happen. And then I tried to reverse engineer that into how would that actually change my business?
So you were experiencing some scheduling conflict, but also the anxiety of feeling like I'm not being as present for my kids or my family as I'd like to be, but I also need to get these meetings and have this work done. So you sort of figured out a strategy to make sure that there was kind of more definition between work time and family time.
That's exactly, because I used to be kind of, I tried to be a little over accommodating where I would say, let's say somebody wanted to meet with me and we as a family, because we do a lot of road trips, we're driving up to DC, which is about a 4-hour drive. I often would say, yeah, I'm going to be in the car 4 hours. Let's schedule it for some time when I'm driving. But then like, it's just having committed to that and realizing kids are yelling or just needing to do that when I should be spending time with the family. You know, it was me trying to think like pragmatically, okay, I've got 4 hours to kill.
But really you're taking your two daughters to the meeting with you.
Yeah. And two daughters and wife to my meeting. Yeah. I mean, it's not a good way to build up it's not a great way to get your family to be happy with you, you know? So
it sounds like the goal of simplification or to simplify flows out of last year's experience and is maybe another version of that.
It does. And it's just really looking back at like, what are the things I did not like about this year, and can I control any of that? And part of it was I didn't like jumping from this to this to this to this. So what can I do then to not do that as much? So how does that affect how I handle support, or how does that affect how I, you know, do whatever?
That is one of the things that we come back to in a lot of our conversations on the podcast about this capacity to reflect back on what's working and what's not working, and that mm-hmm. goals really flow out of this is working. I want to build this bigger or double the revenue or, you know, have a goal around something that's already thriving. But then a lot of goals also flow out of our pain points. Like, I don't want this to be the situation anymore, or I want to at least feel differently about it.
Yeah. And I think like doubling your revenue isn't really an end goal. I mean, that's just really, it's something that gets done to achieve something else. So I think you really need to figure out what that something else is first before you, regardless of what it is you do professionally, I think it should align with your life goals, right? And that's why I really try to start with what life goals do I want? And then how do they translate into business goals? And then from there, how do they translate into more smaller things to be done?
So you don't necessarily separate personal goals from business goals. It sounds like you have life goals that might integrate both aspects, and then you define those into business goals.
The objectives are different, but they're intrinsically tied.
Yeah. They're both flowing from you.
Right.
And you have, it sounds like, pretty consistent ways of tracking progress. Do you have, like, on your calendar a monthly check-in with how you're progressing on your goals?
I do that weekly. So each Friday, I'm a fan of history. I mean, I've always, you know, I went to school for the classics and always have been really interested in history. And one thing that people used to do a lot of is journaling. And, you know, one of my heroes, Jefferson, he had 4 daily journals: gardening, transactions, letter log, and so forth. Blanking on me. Anyway, he was obsessive about data collection. And so one thing, I'm not that OCD, but he, the other one was the weather. He's a biographer's dream because every letter he ever sent or received, he would say, you know, the date he got it or sent it, who it was from or to, what the gist of that letter was. And like, it was basically like an old fashioned, old Excel file, like of this, right? Anyway, so I've tried to make it a point to be more conscious about what I get done each week. So on Friday, it takes me like half an hour to do. I just have an Evernote, a little doc where I write like, here's what I've done this week. Here's how I think it affects these different goals. Here's any immediate impact it's had on certain metrics, revenue. And I just try to like review, like, what did I do this week? And that's helpful both from tracking goals, but also more importantly, when I feel like, this week has just sucked, I'm getting nothing done, like I'm stalling, I just look back a few weeks before and I see how it's kind of...
That's usually not true.
Yeah. I mean, because if you're so like, if I'm just focused on, okay, today's Monday, what have I actually accomplished today? It feels like all I've done is, you know, whatever. I can see where I actually am in, you know, right now, big picture, which helps, I think, overcome a lot of potential discouragement.
I love that kind of personal data collection and the psychological benefits of really having a record of both how you're feeling and what you're doing. How long have you been doing that?
about 2 years or so.
Okay. Yeah. Do you ever go back and look at the logs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember like when I would talk about how, oh, you know, I just did this launch and it did $2,000 in a day. And if I was launching and it did $2,000 in a day now, I probably treat that as a failure. But back then it was a success. And I could kind of see how, you know, I can see how it's all kind of stacked up, I guess. And yeah, I mean, it's fun reading back. I mean, just seeing how the business has evolved. It's definitely like, because I think a lot of people think that I, and also a lot of friends of mine, probably Rob too, have like always been strategic about like, you know, thinking, okay, here's my goal with this business 5 years from now. It's, it usually isn't that easy or that clear cut. But it's interesting being able to see like, how has this, because I think even didn't Rob do that with Derek? Like every week he would record like a private podcast. For,
yeah, they did that with Drip. And then put it into a documentary.
Yeah, which is awesome. I mean, I'm willing to bet both Rob and Derek would say that that was really, really beneficial for them to do that, to spend that time.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of us just don't do that. We just kind of go by the, you know, wherever the wind is going to take us this week in business and go from there.
And at best, people will have productivity goals and they'll check them off on a list. And right. I just think that what you're doing is really different because it's more narrative and it sort of involves this extra level of analysis beyond check I did this or check I didn't.
Right.
And I just think that that is a kind of deeper, more complete way to assess your progress and, you know, has all these other benefits that you're pointing out.
I mean, it's definitely more qualitative. I think a lot of us think of goals as being more quantitative things like doubling revenue or whatever else. And yeah, I mean, that's obviously nicely chartable and, you know, things like that. But we should be reflective about what it is we're working toward and always be that, you know, always be reflective as much as we can. Like, for instance, my end of year goals, I've been busy, so I haven't been able to write it yet, but it's relatively easy for me to write because I don't need to think back too hard about what I did. I mean, the data is all there. So, and it doesn't take time. I mean, I think even if you're just getting started and you don't have a lot to maybe write about or whatnot, I just think it's so helpful to have like this documentation about how, and it starts to, you know, I mean, honestly, if you start thinking, if your weekly end of week write-up is saying the same exact thing each week, like, yeah, I'm working on that new homepage. Yeah, still keep working on that homepage. I mean, it kind of is your own mastermind in a way, because in a mastermind, you would feel pretty dumb if you kept doing that, right? If every time you showed up, you're like, yeah, I'm still working on that thing. And it's everyone's like, and like, right?
Why? Running?
Yeah, right. So it's a different, it's a way of doing that too, which I think is helpful to have that.
Personal reflection and accountability.
Yep. I mean, I think everyone should have masterminds as a way to have peer accountability, but it's a good way to have that kind of personal accountability.
Absolutely. Have you had a big goal failure that you would be willing to talk about sometime when you had grand plans and it just fell apart?
Yeah. Like case in point, my software as a service company, PlanScope, I wanted that to, you know, do tens of thousands of a month in revenue. And then I realized I just don't have like, you know, doing this other stuff. I assumed it would be something that would just happen. Then I realized I had to actually work at it. Sounds dumb, but you know, I kind of thought, oh, I could just keep creating courses, creating books and do this training material. And that would just immediately make plans go better. And, you know, I realized that I was just being, you know, I was being short-sighted on that, frankly. And there were other things like particular courses I wanted to do company, you know, I wanted to start a new, part of it is Cobbler Shoes stuff. Like I wanted to start a new agency doing something that I really got good at doing, which is kind of creating content that leads to leads or generating leads or generating sales. And I had a few early clients who just took a lot of my time and I never actually produced any actual marketing material for that agency or really thought down and planned that agency. So I totally screwed up on usually the advice I give with that. Fixing that now, actually, for that's one of my goals for the year.
So but, in those cases, did you not carefully plan out the tasks that needed to be done in order to accomplish that bigger goal? Or sounds like a variety of things can happen, that disrupt a business. But
I think case in point, like I blogged about it on my site, like take that agency bit. I talked about wanting to create a new agency. I even wrote a blog post in public, again, that kind of public accountability about what I was planning on doing. And then I got a bunch of interest from potential clients and was overwhelmed. And I was like, oh, I've got all this other stuff to do. And I did a few projects with that. And I still am, and to a degree. And I'm a big fan of treating businesses like franchises in a way where even if you don't plan on making it a franchise, like, you know, when you think of a franchise business, you think of like a Subway or something. What I mean by that is just having processes that dictate how it's run.
That can be replicable and sustainable.
Exactly. And with that, I had these quantitative goals I wanted to hit with this, but I didn't really think about how that would affect everything else. I failed on that in that sense and really doing what I should be doing with that goal, which is why I fell flat on that goal last year. Even though it was successful in that, I had the kind of consulting projects I wanted to get with that agency. It ended up distracting other things and you know, impacting other things and everything else. So definitely could have done that better. And I hope to do it better this year.
So you begin with these overarching life kinds of goals. Like, it sounds like you have a sense of how you want life to feel, how you want your family to feel, how you want to be in the world. And then go backwards and think about business goals. Do you set goals for your family?
Yeah. I mean, that's usually the goals that I'm setting are for me and my family.
Do those get concrete? Like, I don't know, we're all going to learn a new language this year or?
Usually not. I mean, like we've always wanted to move to the country and get out of the suburbs. So, you know, that's obviously a goal that requires a lot of both financial considerations and logistical considerations and a lot of other things, which in turn are case in point. Like a lot, if we really do move to the country, I won't be able to have great internet anymore at the places we're looking at. I mean, maybe it's different in California, but here it's usually satellite radio or satellite internet would be the only option, which is okay, but upload is bad. So there need to be considerations on how many live events I could do and how many things I should do that are contingent on live events. So, you know, there's a lot of consideration that needs to happen because I, you know, as a family, we definitely, this has been our dream for a while to be, I mean, not full blown like homesteader types, but just to be able to be a little more, I guess, connected with the land is probably the best way I can put it. But yeah, I mean, that's the goal, which then spins off a lot of other things that milestones that would need to be achieved to get there. And that also then translates into business things. And yeah, I mean, one of the things we wanted to do, which is very reminiscent of what you and Rob have done, is did this, my first conference this year that went much better than I ever thought. And a lot of my European customers have been clamoring for the same. And a goal we've had as a family is to be able to really justify going to Europe for a few weeks and just exposing the kids to all of that. And like we've planned the conference around making that happen when the girls are out of school and everything like that. So that's definitely one where my business goal was to have, you know, continue the success of that and accommodate the other half of my audience, which is in Europe, but also to enable certain family goals.
So figuring out how to integrate the goals, how the business goals work with the family goals.
Exactly,
they're kind of in conversation back and forth.
You know, that's one of the things people knock on lifestyle businesses all the time, and the title of it, I guess, title lifestyle business is sort of a derogatory thing in some minds. But for me, it's very much that. I mean, business is a means to an end for me, not an end in itself. So I try to make sure it's all always balanced in that sense.
And it sounds like the goal process that you engage in keeps that at the forefront of your consciousness, both in your annual setting of goals, but in your kind of Friday recap of how the week went and how that affects your businesses and your life.
That's right. I think I would like to get to the point where I'm also spending time on kind of more personal reflections. I think that would be good too. Again, having a diary isn't like a teenage girl thing. You know, I mean, it's not, it shouldn't be.
You don't have to convince me. I make people journal all the time.
Yeah. You look at the biographies on the great people of history, right? Like Churchill or somebody like that. And I mean, so much of it is drawn from these personal diaries. And part of me questions how much of their success was due to having that habit. So I think the sign of somebody who's doing things right isn't as much, I mean, yeah, you could point at financials or whatever all you want. When somebody has the ability to actually think about what they're doing and figure and be more intentional. I mean, it reminds me of, again, to go back to my geeky liberal arts days, reading Walden by Thoreau. I mean, he talks about living intentionally, which I think is something a lot of us don't do. And I've been guilty of not doing a lot. And it's really hard, I think, with, I mean, just being, you know, if I'm reading on my Kindle, let's say I'm reading Waldo on my Kindle, not to like pull up my phone and see if anyone is what's happening on Twitter or something. Like, I think distraction is just something that is a very big thing that I think as a society we need to deal with eventually. But living intentionally, I think, means probably actually thinking through like what it is we're doing and what the point of it all is and why we're doing it this way, not that way, and everything else. So, you know, I've tried to be more intentional, I guess, in both business and life. It's still a big work in progress. I want to say that I've figured it all out, but...
But it sounds like the value is there. And some might say that your meta level or your big level goals are intentions rather than goals. Like you have an intention to simplify, which is a choice about how you want to be in the world. And then the goals are the measurable objectives that flow
goals
from that intention.
Quantitative, yeah. Like, you know, one business instead of four or something. That would be a goal, I guess. But the intention would be that simplification. Yeah.
So you might be more intentional than you realize.
Maybe.
You're like, I'm not ready to say that yet.
I still think there's a lot. I mean, I think for all of us, there's a lot more we could be doing. One of my goals, well, not goals, but intentions, that's a good way of putting it. You know, one thing I did well is I really made sure that I thank my wife for this, make sure I don't wake up and check my email. Which is hard. Like, I mean, I think a lot of us are so used to being able to like this push notification anytime system. Whereas if you think back a few decades back, mail came once a day, right? Like, I mean, the mailman didn't show up whenever there was a new letter written for you. So yeah. I try not to get too meta level philosophical and all this stuff. But I think there's a lot of things that we need to think about more immediately on a personal level and a family level before maybe a societal level, but about kind of the role of push notifications and distractions and that sort of stuff.
Well, it's about how you're present to your life.
Yes, right, right, exactly. So again, that's still something I'm, for my own self and for my own family, still something we're figuring out. But I think probably one of the best things we've done is, or I've done rather, is to really try to just earmark the time on Fridays to spend half an hour. You can find half an hour, no matter how busy you are, to just do this. Or it could be on a weekend or really whenever you want. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great takeaway from our conversation. Any last comments or just thoughts you have about the process of goal setting?
I think it's important to realize that any system we have is a work in progress. Anything we're doing should be reflected on and seen like what are the pros of doing it this way? What are the cons? And have a way where you can actually spend the time, whether it's like a once a year thing. I know you and Rob go on like kind of like personal vacations sometimes to do this.
Yeah, retreats.
Yeah, whatever that looks like for you, like take the time to do that. Because I like to tell people all the time, especially in the education stuff I'm doing with my customers, you know, if you just have an inertia driven business where you're just going along for the ride, it's not good.
You're not awake.
Yeah. You want to take ownership over the way that you get work done. And the best way to do that is to know what you're doing and to really understand how it fits in the big picture.
Well, fantastic. Thank you. I think those are really helpful, encouraging words and tactics. And I hope they're helpful to our listeners.
Yeah. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.